It's time for a children's church, so have any fourth, fifth, or sixth graders come on up to the second row. I brought the sermon box this morning, and I'm going to put it right here. And so I just want to say I'm glad you're here in church because, you know, following Jesus is a great adventure. And you know what an adventure is, don't you? Well, that's usually something exciting, right? And it's usually something new. And so we've been challenged and encouraged to follow Jesus, and there's going to be some things that we're going to need if we're going to follow Jesus and do this great adventure. So a couple of things we're going to need is, well, we're going to need some walking shoes, right? Because the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So you need some good walking shoes. So, you know, these fancy, you know, pretty shoes, they don't work, you know. They're just used to impress other people. And what you need is some walking shoes. So, and notice that the tread on the bottom of this thing, that's so you can grip the ground and so you won't stumble and bumble around as you follow Jesus. So, and it, of course, it helps to have two of them. So I'm going to put both of them on here so that I can follow Jesus. And, you know, the Bible also says, walk in the light as He is in the light. And if we do that, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, yeah, we need some walking shoes. Because if we're going to follow Jesus, we can't stay in the same place, right? We've got to be moving. And you're not really going to hang with Jesus unless you're ready to move. Because Jesus is a mover, right? And then we want to walk with Him. And so, yeah, we've got to be ready to walk. Now, some Bible also says it's a race, so sometimes we've got to be ready to run, and that's what these shoes are for, walking and running. Sometimes we have to run just to keep up with Jesus. Now, we're going to need a few other things. So, it's going to be a journey, so we're going to need a backpack to carry some stuff that we, you know, that we really need. And, well, what are some of the things we need? Maybe we should check and see what's in here. Well, let me see. We've got a few things. Oh, you know what we got here? A bar of soap. Now, you, when you follow Jesus, you need a bar of soap, and you need a good one. You know, because you need to stay clean when you follow Jesus, right? You don't want to get dirty, and we will get dirty, right? So that's why we need this bar of soap. It needs to be a good one. And you know, the Christian's bar of soap is recorded in the Bible. It's 1 John 1:9. It says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So to stay clean, we have to confess our sins. You know, whenever we do something wrong, whenever we think something wrong, whenever we say something wrong that hurts somebody else, we want to be quick to turn to God and let Him clean us, you know, with that bar of soap, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there's at least one more thing that we need when we follow Jesus, and there it is. We need a Bible, because God tells us that the Bible is a light to our feet and a light to our path. And so when you follow Jesus, you don't need a flashlight. You just need the Word of God, and you just need to let the Word of God shine, and you need to know it and understand it so that you can know where to go, what to do, what to say, and what not to do, so you can know right from wrong. All of these things will help us as we follow Jesus in this great adventure that He has for us. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly." And so that's why it's so important that we keep our eyes on Him and follow Him. And again, that's what the Bible tells us to do, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we follow Him, guess what? He'll perfect us and prepare us for heaven. And that's what following Jesus on earth is all about, getting ready for heaven, because that's the place that He's leading us. So be sure you've got the Bible. So, yeah, while we're here, so, Luis Alfredo, you have a Bible? At your house? Okay, well, just don't leave it on the shelf. You want to take it out and look at it at least once a day, right? And how about you? You have a Bible? Yeah, it's at your house? Okay. Well, when you're at home, don't forget to look at it, because that's our flashlight so we can know what to do and where to go. Okay, well, thanks for being here this morning and just continue on that adventure of following Christ. And it's so great that you're following Him now. The earlier, the better. Because the earlier you follow Christ, and you want to tell all your friends this, the more pitfalls and holes along the way you'll avoid. And God will protect you and save you from a lot of evil stuff that's out in the world if you follow Him now. So, yes, follow the Lord Jesus and begin that great adventure. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this because, you know, as grown-ups, you know, I want to ask you, are you up for the adventure? And I hope you are, because that's what following Christ is all about, entering into the adventure that He's prepared for us. Scripture tells us that He's already prepared good works for us. He's already prepared an adventure for us as we follow Him. And, you know, as we follow Jesus, the adventure never ends, because we're daily being led by Him. We're daily being changed by Him and growing to know Him better than we know Him now. No matter where you are in your Christian life, you can always know Christ better than you know Him today. So we have this daily adventure of trusting Him with the difficulties that we face. And we all face difficulties. Each day is an opportunity to talk to Him and to listen to Him and to grow in our relationship with Him. Every day is an opportunity to learn more about God. You know, none of us can say, oh, I know everything there is to know about God. God is so deep, so high above us, that we will continue to know Him better as we walk with Him and as we read the Scriptures. And as we read the Scriptures, we'll see what God did in the lives of people throughout history. As we follow the Lord Jesus, He'll give us abundant grace and wisdom to deal with the events that we face every day. As we turn away from sin, turn away from these bad attitudes and evil thoughts, He will renew our minds and fill us with His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit will refresh us with His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Think about that. Those are the riches that He wants to give us. And they're ours if we'll just fix our eyes on Jesus and follow Him each day. That is the great adventure. His Word will give us insight, understanding, and nourish our soul. That's what it says in Psalm 19. And as we persevere with thanksgiving through the tough times and stay faithful during the good times, we'll fulfill His purpose for us. And when we're living God's purpose, we're living the great adventure that He has for us. So this morning, we're going to look at a group of Christ followers who embraced the adventure of following Christ. So we're going to look at these people. They're friends of Paul. And, you know, it's always better to talk about other people. And so we're going to do that this morning. We're going to look at these friends of the Apostle Paul. And they were following Christ, and they were a part of this great adventure of telling people about Christ. And, of course, they were hanging out with a great mentor, the Apostle Paul. And more importantly, they were simply following Jesus. Now, you might be sitting here and wondering, like, why are you talking about the Christian life being an adventure? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that the Christian life is an adventure. Well, I want you to think about what an adventure is. It is usually doing something new. And the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. When we follow Christ, He will begin to renew our minds. And our minds are full of junk. And God wants to take away the junk and replace it with good things, true things, encouraging things to think about. Philippians 4, verse 8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things." Dwelling on these things may be a new experience for us. It's so easy to fall back into the crud of the world. But God wants us to set our minds on those things that are good. And it might be good for us to evaluate what we look at, what we read, what we watch, and turn away from those things that are dragging us down. As we read His Word, we will see that His ways are best. And we'll begin to put away some of our bad thinking, our bad habits, our bad attitudes, and replace them with godly thinking and godly attitudes and good habits. When we think of an adventure, we think of something that is a challenge, right? And it certainly is a challenge to trust God, especially during the tough times. Because we're all in the habit of trusting in ourselves or trusting in money or trusting in technology or trusting in other people. But God wants us to trust in Him and look to Him for wisdom. And He promises to give us wisdom in every situation. And when we take up the challenge of putting our trust in God, then our faith will grow. Faith is like a muscle. It'll grow as we use it. And so we have to use our faith and exercise our faith. And we'll see God provide for us and answer prayer. And then when we think about an adventure, we often think of something that's fun. Now, the Christian life is not always fun. As I mentioned, we have difficulties. But it should always be peaceful and joyful. Nehemiah says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." You ever feel weak? Turn to the Lord and let Him flood your heart with His joy. And so in all that we do and in every circumstance, there should be a sense of knowing that God is with us, that God is in control, that He will help us, and that should give us joy in every situation. Ben mentioned that Paul and Silas were in prison. Their hands were in chains and in stocks. And try to get a good night's sleep, you know, when your hands are in chains and your feet are in stocks. And in that situation, they still had joy and began to sing praises to God. And God blessed them and answered them. And as Ben mentioned, God caused an earthquake and the chains fell off their hands and the stocks broke off their feet. And they didn't get up and run out, they just stayed there. And then the jailer came running in and they talked to the jailer. Not only the jailer, but his entire family. And his entire family came to know Christ. God has a way of using difficult situations to strengthen our faith and to help us and to bring us to a better place. And so that's why it's so important for us to trust God and to endure during these difficult times. But you may be here this morning and you just might be thinking, you know, Pastor Rick, I'm just not feeling it. You know, I don't have joy, I'm not learning anything new, and I'm not challenged. I'm just moving along from one day to the next. And the Christian life is just not an adventure for me. Well, if someone is not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus promised, I always ask a few questions. So when I want to ask you these questions this morning. When is the last time you talked to God? When is the last time you asked God to examine your heart? Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." What a wonderful prayer. We should pray that every day. So when is the last time you ask God, is there any sin in my life? Is there any sinful habit or addiction? Am I more concerned about other people, about what other people think than about what God thinks? Is there any resentment or anger in my heart? Am I mad at God for something that's happened in my life? Am I obsessed with something or somebody? Has that obsession crowded out my devotion to God? Any of these things can derail our relationship with God and cause us to miss out on the adventure that He has for us. God invites us to bring all of these things to Him. And He invites us to confess every bad attitude or habit and then give ourselves completely to Christ. And then after you've done that, do what Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says. We talked about this several months ago. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God, who is your spiritual service of worship." And then he says this, "And do not be conformed to the world." In other words, don't just go along with everybody else. But be transformed. Be different. Be in this process of becoming like Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's where we're going. We're going for what is good and acceptable to God and what is perfect in His eyes. And so God invites us to give ourselves to Him so that He can change us and lead us where we should be and where we want to be. And I think after saying those words, before we look at the passage we're going to look at this morning, let's just pause right now and ask God to examine our hearts. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we want to look to You right now and humbly ask that You would examine our hearts, that You would look at the deep things, the difficult things. And Lord, if there's anything in our life that You don't want in our life, Lord, we pray that You would just make it plain to us, that You would make it obvious to us. And Lord, those things that are hurtful to us and hurtful to others, those things that are not pleasing to You, we just confess them right now. And we receive Your forgiveness right now. We receive Your cleansing right now. And we ask that You would fill us with Your Spirit and that You would give us an open and eager heart to listen to You. And we pray, Lord, that You would give us Your strength to continue on the path that You've given us. And Lord, I pray for Your blessing and Your comfort on those who are struggling, who are hurting. Lord, I pray for those who don't know what to do. Thank You for Your promise to give us wisdom. And so, Lord, right now we want to claim Your help and Your wisdom. And so, Lord, right now we cast our burdens on You. And we give ourselves to You to follow You with all of our hearts. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us Your Word. And as we continue to look at the Scriptures this morning, we pray, Lord, that You would use Your Word to remind us of those things that You have for us. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This morning we're going to continue our study of the book of Romans. And we're in the last chapter of Romans, and I'm going to need my Bible. So let me ask you to take your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab the Bible that's in the rack in front of you, and you'll find this on page 1025. Page 1025. Romans chapter 16. And the Apostle Paul is ending his letter to the people in Rome, and just want to kind of do a quick review here and remind you of the situation. As Paul is writing this letter, he's actually in the city of Corinth. He's in what Bible scholars refer to as his third missionary journey. He's gathered some of the leaders of every church that he has founded, and he's taking them with him to Jerusalem. And they've taken an offering in all of their churches, and so they're bringing money to help the Christians in Jerusalem, because at that particular time in history there was a famine in Israel. And the Christians who were in Jerusalem were needy. And so they're bringing gifts of money to help the Christians in the church of Jerusalem. But so he's got these leaders with him from these various churches. But before he leaves Corinth to begin the journey to Jerusalem, he sits down and he writes this letter to the Christians at the church in Rome. And, of course, he's wants to write this letter to encourage them, to help them grow in their relationship with Christ. And so Paul's plan is to go to Jerusalem, help the Christians there, and then leave and go to Rome. Of course, that was his plans. That wasn't God's plans. And God's plans are often different, but always better. And if you know the story of Apostle Paul, he was excited about going to Rome. He had a lot of friends there. He went to Jerusalem. And he did what the Lord had led him to do. He, you know, he helped the Christians who were in Jerusalem. But guess what? He got beat up. He got thrown in prison. He was in prison for 2 years. So life was not easy for him. And God changed his plans, but God blessed him during that time. And it was during that time, while the Apostle Paul was in prison, that Luke began to travel throughout Judea. He talked to people who knew Christ, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke during that time while Paul was in prison. And he probably talked to Mary, the mother of Jesus. He probably talked to the shepherds that were on the hills on that night that the angel appeared to them when Jesus was born. He talked to many people who were healed by Jesus. And so when Luke begins his gospel, the Gospel of Luke, he says, you know, I went and researched everything, and I'm giving you an account of the life of Jesus. And so God abundantly blessed that time and in giving Luke the opportunity to write his gospel. But he also blessed the Apostle Paul and gave the Apostle Paul to the opportunity to talk to King Agrippa and other leaders in that area in Caesarea. He was in prison in Caesarea. And then eventually, as you know, he did go to Rome, but he went to Rome as a prisoner and eventually got to meet and fellowship with the people and the church in Rome. So here he's finishing his letter, and he's surrounded by a bunch of folks. And so look at verse 21 of chapter 16. He says, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you, and so do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you. And Quartus, the brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we're just going to talk about those few verses this morning. We're going to talk about these people that the Apostle Paul mentions. All of these are people who joined in the adventure of following Christ. And so verse 21, it says, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So I want you to notice you've got an outline on the back of your bulletin. And there's the list of all of these guys that are mentioned in this passage. And the first one is Timothy. And so he sends greetings from Timothy. And it says here that Timothy was Paul's fellow worker. Now, he was a fellow teacher and preacher. In the long list of friends that we've looked at for the last month and a half in this chapter, there's only one other couple that Paul referred to as fellow workers, and that was Prisca and Aquila. And you'll remember, as we talked about them, that he actually met them in Corinth, and they helped him in his ministry, and they were teachers with Paul in his ministry. And we first hear from Timothy in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, it says that Timothy was a disciple in the city, and it says that Paul was traveling on his way and on what we refer to as his second missionary journey. And it says that in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, that Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy. So when the Apostle Paul got there, Timothy was already a believer in Christ, and we can find out a lot about his background and his life story. Paul came to the city of Lystra, and he found this young man who was already a believer in the Lord Jesus. Acts 16 goes on to say that he was the son of a Jewish woman. We know from other scriptures that his mother's name was Eunice, and that his grandmother's name was Lois. Now, the reason Scripture tells us about his mother and his grandmother is because when Timothy was about your age, Luis Alfredo, and your age, Angela, their mother and their grandmother told them about God, told them about the true and the living God, and read them and taught them the Scriptures. But you know what? They only had the Old Testament. And so their mother and their grandmother taught them the Old Testament. And so when the Apostle Paul comes to the city of Lystra, he meets this guy, Timothy, who's a follower of Christ. He's familiar with the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. He's familiar with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. He knows how God worked throughout the centuries, and he knew that God's plan for the world was to send the Messiah. And so here he finds this guy who was mature in the Lord and eager to serve Christ. And so he went over to Timothy, and he said, Hey, Timothy, how would you like to begin a new adventure? Like, how would you like to come with me and go to Jerusalem and tell the people in Jerusalem about Christ? And then we'll go to Rome. And you know what Timothy said? He said, yeah, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to follow Jesus. Actually, that happened on his second missionary trip, so it happened before this planned trip to Jerusalem. And so Timothy accepted the challenge. He decided, yeah, I want the adventure of following Christ wherever he leads him. And so Timothy, he learned a lot from Paul, and he began to teach and preach. Paul began to give him some big responsibilities. Paul sent Timothy as his personal representative to Corinth to help solve a few problems there. That was after his first visit to 1 Corinthians. And so here's what Paul says about Timothy in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. He says, I became your father. He's talking to the Christians in Corinth. I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy. Now, I want you to notice that Paul says, I want you to imitate me. Now, can you say that to other people? Like, can you say, I want you to imitate me? Are you walking with Christ in such a consistent way that you could say to somebody else, I want you to imitate me? And of course, the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so he wasn't being boastful in any way. He was encouraging others to follow him as he followed Christ. And we in our walk with Christ should be able to get to that point in our life where we could say, listen, just imitate me. I'm going to follow Christ. Just follow Christ as I follow Christ. We should be able to say that to the people we know and to our kids and to our grandkids. And so the Apostle Paul says, therefore I urge you to imitate me. And for this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love. Now he's not his blood son. He was his son in the Lord. He says, I'm sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. The Apostle Paul had a high opinion of Timothy. So Timothy went to the church in Corinth. He helped them understand the scriptures and understand what it means to follow Christ. Later, Paul left Timothy in Ephesus. And guess what? Timothy became the pastor of the church in Ephesus. Paul said this about Timothy when he wrote his letter to the Philippians. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of Timothy's proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. Timothy was a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus and a servant to Paul as well. So here's what we can learn from Timothy. Learning the Bible is the best way to prepare yourself for serving God and for helping others. Look to learn from older people, just as Timothy looked to learn from the Apostle Paul. Look to other Christians who love Jesus and imitate them and follow them as they follow Christ. Be faithful with every responsibility that God gives you. And then secondly, look at the next part of this verse. He says, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you, and so do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsman. So let's talk about these three guys. There's these three guys. The first one is Lucius. We first learn of Lucius in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. He was one of the leaders in the church at Antioch. Lucius was one of the leaders who were praying and fasting when the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now that guy Saul became the Apostle Paul. And so now Paul is on his third missionary journey, and they're in Corinth, and Lucius is there with him. I think Lucius, you know, when Paul returned from his missionary journeys, he was encouraged by the things that God was doing, and he decided he wanted to travel with Paul as well and to see what God had done. And you know, as you know, there are a number of churches who go and visit the missionaries where they're living and ministering. And we haven't done that. We kind of wait for them to come back here and report to us. But That's always a great thing to do. If you're going on a vacation, you know, and you're in a country where there's mission work going on, don't take a few days and go visit missionaries and be with them. That's what this guy Lucius was doing. He was with the Apostle Paul as Paul ministered in the city of Corinth. And then he mentions Jason. Now, the scripture that Ben read earlier told us about Jason. Do you remember? Jason was one of the first converts in the city of Thessalonica. As a young Christian, he wanted to help Paul, so evidently he had Paul stay in his house. And remember when the mob came looking for Paul, they went into Jason's house and grabbed Jason out of his house and took him before the authorities. They didn't find Paul, so they just dragged Jason out and took him before the judge. And do you remember what they said about him? He, along with Paul, was one of the men who were turning the world upside down. And he says, they're turning the world upside down, saying there is another king, King Jesus. Yes, that's exactly what they were doing. There's another king, greater than the king, the emperor of Rome. It's King Jesus. He's the one that we should follow. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. Jason was unashamed to tell people that. Now, here's something that we can learn from Jason. Be bold for God. Don't be afraid to turn the world upside down for the Lord Jesus. Now, think about it. Think about the world that Jason lived in. Everyone believed in idols. It was a pagan world. They all believed in the Greek gods and the Roman gods. And, of course, you know, the Greek gods and the Roman gods, they were false gods. It was all a myth. Those who worship idols were fools. And I want to ask you today, who worships Roman and Greek gods today? Okay, here's the answer. Nobody, right? We study about them, like when we take Roman history, perhaps, and we read some of the writings, you know, like Ulysses and some of the other things. But who worships these? Who worships Ulysses today? Who worships the Roman or Greek gods? Nobody. Why is that? It is because of the gospel of Jesus Christ went into all the world. And people began to turn to the true and the living God. You know, we should not be intimidated by the atheist of today. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. There's a movement of atheism. There's a movement of foolish people who reject God. And make no mistake about it. Just as it is true that today nobody worships Roman gods, there will come a time in the future when there will be no more atheist. There will be a time when we look back in history and say, where is the atheist today? They don't exist. And you know what? God tells us that day will come. He tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that there will come a time that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So when that day comes, when every knee bows to Jesus, I'm telling you, there will be no more atheist. We should be unashamed to talk about Christ and help fools understand that there is a true and living God who has visited us in the person of Christ. And then there's Sosipater. We first learn about Sosipater in Acts chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. It says, a man from Berea named Sopater. Now, Sopater is short for Sosipater. And so we know that Sosipater was from the city of Berea, and Ben also mentioned in that passage about the people in the city of Berea. So evidently, Sosipater was at this present time when Paul wrote this letter, he was there with Paul, and he was representing the church of Berea. And he was bringing a gift from the church of Berea to take to Jerusalem, to help the Christians in Jerusalem. And of course, as you heard Ben read this morning, that when Paul first went to Berea, the people in Berea were, quote, more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things, the things that Paul was preaching, were so. So what can we learn from Sosipater? Well, be noble-minded. Examine the scriptures daily and follow Christ with all your heart. And then he says, greetings from Tertius. That's in verse 23. Now, I think this is really interesting. When we read this one verse, we find out that, guess what? The Apostle Paul, he's not writing the letter physically himself. And Tertius was the guy actually writing down the words as Paul told him what to write. So think about it. Now, during the time of the Apostle Paul, people who were educated could read, but they very rarely wrote. You want to know why? Because you had to be trained to write. Now, we think, okay, well, what's wrong with that? Everybody should be trained to write, right? But this was like a vocation. Writing was a vocation, and you had to learn. And think about it. You know, they wrote on sheets of papyrus, which was from a plant. Papyrus was a plant, and so they would make paper out of this plant, papyrus, and they had ink, and they would take a reed from the papyrus plant, and they would sharpen it with a knife, and they would dip it in ink, and they would write on this paper. Paper was expensive. And guess what? If you made a mistake, you were in big trouble, right? You couldn't erase it. You couldn't delete it. So you had to be really good at this. And so Tertius, this was his profession. He was really good at this. And so he's writing the letter as Paul tells him what to say. And so here is Tertius. He's just using his craft to further the word of God. Think about that for a few minutes. We should all use our craft and our skills and our gifts and our knowledge to further the word of God. So he was not a preacher. He was not a missionary. He was a scribe, just a writer. And God was using his skills for God's kingdom. I'm sure he was a scribe for many who wanted to send letters, and he wrote many letters and many documents. But here he had the opportunity and the privilege. And the letter he wrote became part of the Word of God that people have read and have been helped by through the centuries, just by using the craft that God gave him. So here he was serving the Lord, taking down the words as the Holy Spirit directed Paul as what to say to these believers in Rome. Now here's what we can learn from Tertius. Look for opportunities to use your skills for God. I think of people here in our own church, like Ben. He uses his skills as a banker to manage the finances for the church. There's Jeremiah who uses his... Where is Jeremiah? He was here a minute ago. Okay, he went in the back. He's got a kid, and he's back in the library now. And he uses his skills as a graphic artist to design a bulletin for us that's helping us this morning. And he's also designed a card for us. It's an invite card, and they're by the front door. And I'd like to invite you to take them, since he's put so much work into designing this card. It says, "You're invited to grow with us. 10 a.m. Sunday service, Pine Mountain Christian Community Church." So this is something that you can hand out to people you know and people you meet to invite them to come to church. And then there's Linda and Allie who use their skills to bless us with the music and to bless us with the songs that God gives them. And then look at verse 23. Here's his final greetings. Verse 23, he mentions Gaius, host to me. In other words, Paul was staying at the house of Gaius. He says, Gaius, host to me and to the whole church. So not only was Gaius giving Paul a place to live while he was there in Corinth, but the whole church met at his house. He must have lived in a big house. And it's implied that Paul is in here in the house at that very moment, writing this letter, dictating this letter to Tertius. So because the book of Romans was written from Corinth, Gaius was one of the many people who came to Christ through the ministry of Paul. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, that Gaius was one of the two men that Paul had personally baptized. Paul didn't baptize too many people, but he baptized Gaius. So what can we learn from Gaius? Well, be hospitable. Open your home to others as you have opportunity. View your home as a place to serve God and to serve others. And then he mentions this next guy. So first of all, there's Gaius. And then he says, Erastus, the city treasurer. Hey, think of that. He would have been the treasurer of the city of Corinth. Corinth was one of the most prominent cities in the Roman Empire. It was the crossroads of people traveling from the western part of the empire to the eastern part of the empire. It was one of the crossroads. People had to go through Corinth to travel from the northern part of the empire to the southern part of the empire. It was one of the most prominent cities in the Roman Empire. And this was a man of prominence and who held a high political office. Now, he wasn't elected to that office. He was appointed to that office, but he was a prominent political figure nonetheless. So yes, a Christian can hold a political office. And then he mentions Quartus, and he says about Quartus, Quartus the brother. So all that we know about Quartus is that he was a brother, and it implies that he was a brother of Erastus, the city treasurer. And so he mentions him and sends his greeting to the church in Rome. And then in verse 24, he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Now, why does he say that? Because you can't really continue on this journey of following Christ apart from the grace of God. You know, the Christian life is not a matter of gritting your teeth and trying to do your best. It's a matter of daily depending on God's strength, depending on the grace of God, the wisdom of God to lead us and direct us. So let's lay hold of the grace of God as we continue our journey. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, for reminding us of these truths and how important it is to trust you and follow you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the example of these men who entered the adventure of following you. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to look to grow in our relationship with you, that we would continue to look for those new things that you have for us, new opportunities to serve you, new opportunities to learn, new opportunities to trust you, even in those difficult times. And Lord, we just want to say that we do trust you, and we want to thank you for the difficulties that we face, and we want to express our faith in you by thanking you for those difficulties, knowing that you're going to use those difficulties to build endurance in our lives. And Lord, we pray that we would all become eager to hear from you, to talk to you, and to be led by your word. We don't want to be led by our emotions. We don't want to be led by other people unless those people are following you. And so, Lord, right now we give ourselves to you. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to invite you to do that right now. Maybe you've heard about Christ. Maybe you believe in God. The Bible says the devil believes in God. It's not enough to believe in God. We're to put our faith in Christ. He's the only one that can save us. He's the one who died and paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And so right now, I would encourage you just to turn to him and say, "Lord Jesus, I trust you. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and paying the penalty for my sins. And I receive you as my Lord and my Savior." And Lord, those of us who've known you for a long time, we pray that you would give us the grace to keep our eyes on you and to follow you wherever you lead us. And we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.